This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Noel Lim. We are turning our attention over to Israel, where on Sunday, Benjamin Netanyahu was ousted as prime minister of the country after narrowly losing a confidence vote in parliament. Netanyahu was the longest-serving prime minister of Israel, having held the post for 12 straight years, as well as an earlier three-year stint back in the 90s.
Wow, what a strange concept, a confidence vote in parliament. Interesting. So he was forced out by an unprecedented coalition of parties who formed a two-headed power-sharing agreement, basically. And these were parties that don't really look eye to eye on many policy issues, but essentially you've got this whole big tent approach, right? Just bring everyone and your and the kitchen sink together to oust towards a common goal. And this common goal was ousting Benjamin Netanyahu. So the coalition contains parties with vast ideological differences, and also includes the first independent Arab party to be part of a ruling coalition, that's Ram. So I guess what does this mean, right? This historic change in government mean for a change in fortunes for the Palestinian cause, or could the shaky coalition crumble, paving the way for Netanyahu's return?
For a better understanding of what's happening in Israel, we have on the line with us Dr. James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute. James, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us today. So Benjamin Netanyahu's position has been on tenterhooks for a few years now, but he's managed to nevertheless cling to the top post. What are the factors that have finally led to his ousting?
I think that by and large, increasingly there was a sentiment in Israel that it was time for a change. And that was, of course, fueled on the one hand by the legal difficulties that Benjamin Netanyahu had, corruption charges in three cases that are in court at the moment and ongoing. But they were also, I think, fueled by the fact that you have a new administration in the United States. The relationship that you had between the former U.S. President Donald Trump and Netanyahu is not a relationship you're going to see between Biden and whoever is in office in Israel. And that was something that was recognized, and that Netanyahu very much stood, as does, by the way, the new prime minister, in effect, against a Palestinian state, an independent Palestinian state alongside Israel, and an end to Israeli settlement policy on the West Bank. I think the new cabinet probably is going to avoid those issues in a bid to ensure some degree of longevity.
Well, speaking about this, this new government is a mishmash of different political parties and ideologies. Given a wide range of views, how stable is this coalition?
Probably, if you took a poll, a majority of analysts won't give this cabinet a long shelf life. And on paper, that's certainly a logical conclusion. You have a coalition whose common ground has already been achieved. That was, at least for now, ousting Netanyahu from office. But then when it comes to all kinds of issues, including the Palestinian issue, including settlements, including social and economic policies, even though less so there, there's a vast array of differences and opinions. What is probably the way that the cabinet is going to go forward, I think, is one, the degree to which there is a will to keep it together and therefore compromise, and a focus on domestic rather than foreign policy issues, with the exception of Iran.
So the role of prime minister will be split between two leaders. Right-wing nationalist Naftali Bennett and centrist Yair Lapid over the next 5 years. What do we know about them and their likely policy direction already in this whole Big Ten approach? Do you see any clarity in their possible policies?
I think there's clarity in their policies, and there's clarity in their differences. Bennett, by the way, in contrast to Netanyahu, is a lot more honest. So whereas Netanyahu pays lip service to a two-state solution, Bennett is very clear. He does not support the creation of a Palestinian state. He does support the Israeli settlements. He supports annexation. those are not policies that Yair Lapid supports. He is much more for a compromise, for engagement with the Palestinians, and for a compromise. Now, maybe not one that the Palestinians will find sufficient, but nonetheless, in some ways, longer term, Lapid could be the beneficiary of this. He's shown himself to be, in a sense, a statesman. He's allowed Bennett to take the first 2 years as prime minister in the coalition. So if this breaks down, he comes out of this as the man who, one, was the guiding force behind putting this coalition together, and the guiding force in terms of making the kind of concessions that were necessary to ensure that it happened.
So, James, do you think this was more of this is a long-term game for Lapid as opposed to a shorter-term direction?
Well, I think the longer-term game was to oust Netanyahu from office. Whether that will succeed, time will tell. Fact of the matter is that basically 59 or 60 votes in the Israeli Knesset, the parliament, voted against the new government. And Netanyahu is the leader of that opposition bloc, and he's made clear that he's going to be a very stark, in a sense, scorched-the-earth opposition leader.
So, James, what kind of bearing do you think this change will have on Israel's foreign relations, both with the U.S. And also its Middle East neighbors?
Well, I think that fundamentally not that much is going to change. That is to say that this is not an Israeli government that's going to truly engage in an Israeli-Palestinian peace process. In many ways, that's going to be on hold. You're not going to see a lot of change in settlement policy. In fact, you saw a first move by the government last night when they decided to go ahead with a far-right demonstration in Jerusalem today that skirts Palestinian neighborhoods in East Jerusalem and could lead to a social violence with Palestinians organizing to counter that march. So I don't think you're going to see that much difference. I don't think that you're going to see a difference in the policies of newly countries that have recently established relations with Israel, such as the United Arab Emirates and other Arab states. So it's more of a holding operation in foreign affairs than anything else. Now, again, the exception to that may be Iran.
Well, is it conceivable that we'll finally see some peace between Israel and Palestine in this coming decade then, under this new leadership?
Well, not under this government. This coming decade, that's, you know, put your finger up in the air and see which way the wind blows. I'm not going to do a prediction on that, but I don't think that this is a government that's capable of negotiating a settlement with the Palestinians. But then again, the problem in getting to a peace settlement may be primarily on the Israeli side, but it's also significantly on the Palestinian side and the divisions among the Palestinians.
So earlier, James, you noted that one of the possible foreign relations issues that could come up is their relationship with Iran. And Iran is holding presidential elections this Friday to replace outgoing President Hassan Rouhani, who has a two-term limit there. How could this relationship between these two nations look like going forward?
Well, I think that the Israelis, you know, both Netanyahu but also Bennett, in his speeches on Monday to the Knesset, the Israeli parliament, made very clear that they are opposed to a return to the 2015 international agreement that curbed Iran's nuclear program, as the United States and the other negotiating countries are at the moment discussing with Iran. And to a degree, Israel has held out the possibility that it could, if it sees its interests and its security threatened, act on its own. So with other words, potentially, if it feels that it really is at risk, strike out on its own and by doing so undermine the whole effort to get a return to the nuclear agreement. I'm not saying that's likely to happen, but it is an option that Israel seems to be keeping open.
James, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was Dr. James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute, giving us some insight into the regime change that we've just seen in Israel and what kind of repercussions that's going to have on the country's foreign relations as well as dealings with Palestine. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.